This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. This is another one in the series of people who are involved with 3CR or long-term listeners. It's all about our 50th birthday, well, it's not ours, it's everybody's 50th birthday party on the 4th of July. Now, I have here a recidivist, Madison Moffat.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, I'm really interested because you came in on the 29th of January 2025. You know how I remember that date?
No.
I looked it up.
Exactly. Razor sharp.
And you've got 1,672 hits.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
It means I'm a superstar.
No, it means I have made you into a superstar. Let's get this right.
Sure. Yeah. That's what it meant.
You know, as you know, Madison, there are two types of people at 3CR.
Here we go.
Dead shits like me who are show ponies. We walk in and we walk out.
You got that
we
right.
Expect everybody. Yeah, I know. We expect everybody to bow as we walk in, right? 49 years.
Well, I do never to mock you.
Yeah.
I bow you to mock you.
Yeah, yeah. But and then we've got people like you,
yeah.
Clydesdales, who do all the
yep.
work.
Yep.
So when did you first hear about
3CR? Big and stocky as well.
Well, I used to have Clydesdale once when I was a kid. As a pet. Yeah, I think you...
They're beautiful.
Beautiful horses.
And little fluffy feet.
Fluffy feet, big feet, yeah. Never get their... Never let them trample on your foot.
Nice big proud face, big long face.
Yeah, I've still got a scar.
Oh, they kicked you?
No, just... They love you. They just stamped on my foot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they were just walking and I was stupid enough as a nine-year-old to be in their path.
I love you, Joe. Stomp.
Yeah. It's a bit like some human relationships. You know what it's like.
Yes.
So, Madison, when did you first hear about 3CR?
Oh, look, you know, I remember when I first came to Melbourne and one of the first things that my wife at the time, who we are still very much friends, did was go to the festival.
What festival?
There was a festival that was on there was like this Fitzroy festival. There was
I remember that stuff. Right with the swimming pool, the Fitzroy pool or something.
Yeah. Oh, I never went there.
No, I wouldn't go either.
But I did sort of walk up and down, what's the other street that runs parallel to Smith here?
I don't know.
Not Sydney Road.
Gertrude Street?
Yeah.
No, that's not the parallel one.
That's not the parallel one. Yeah, anyway, so basically walking around those streets, including Smith Street, and I came across the 3CR building. And my ex actually said, oh, you know, you might be interested. You might, maybe we can find the time now that we're here, because we were moved from a relatively hectic and very tough situation in Brisbane down to Melbourne where, you know, heaven forbid, I actually had work and we had steady work, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, she thought, you know, maybe, you know, this is something that you could do, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, 25 years later, here I am. So and it took a long time.
So you're not a Brisbane refugee, are you? Most people here at 3CR.
I was born and raised in New South Wales. I went up to Brisbane because my ex came from Queensland. Yeah.
Oh, love. Always sends you astray.
Going to living in Brisbane was certainly going astray. Yeah.
25 years ago you came first into contact with 3CR.
Yeah, but only the building. And it was
what? There was nobody here to answer the door?
Well, I think either that or I didn't walk in.
Right.
Yeah, but I did.
Mm.
A little mental bookmark.
Yeah.
And this is slightly relevant because when I was eventually asked if I would like to try out for a show here, it was like, 3CR, finally happening.
Hang on. You were asked to try. I didn't think we asked anybody to try out. I think if anybody came, we kind of took them.
I'm a superstar. Like I said, you know,
supernova.
I'm a supernova. No, let's be serious. Okay, so basically,
so what year were you asked?
2024.
So how come it took almost 23 years for you to come back into the fold? What happened?
Life. And it was, you know, I mean, sure, things were less harsh for us as a couple and as a family once we moved to Melbourne.
Right.
Certainly. But it still wasn't easy, and ambition didn't make it any easier.
Ambition?
Yeah, I was one of these people that thought, you know, I needed to have an impressive career and all this sort of nonsense.
An impressive career.
An impressive career. I had great expectations.
Well, I don't think you've failed. You're here at 3CR.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I didn't realise, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, really, you know, in all seriousness, those expectations would have been better satisfied if I'd gone down that path rather than the career I did.
I forgot what your career was. Sorry, it was a year
ago. Yeah, yeah, no, that's all right. So, you know, I ended up in, you know, reasonably high-level corporate and executive roles in workplace health and safety, environmental management, you know, quality assurance.
In other words, you're a box ticker.
No.
You weren't a box ticker.
No, no.
You actually took the job seriously?
I took the job very seriously. Let's put it this way. Here's the litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
You know that when you're working in those areas that you're doing it right, when everyone complains you're not commercially focused enough.
Correct.
You know,
you're interfering with their profit.
And I was repeatedly accused of not being commercially focused enough.
You weren't loyal to the company.
Well, I would point out to them that commerce involves much more than just the sales point.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and that any business that actually is performing is also performing when it comes to these areas.
It reminds me of a commercial of bank. I think it's the NAB says that the bank with a heart, more than banking. When you go there, more than banking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's nonsense.
That's total nonsense. It's just ridiculous.
It's not more than banking.
No, no. All right. So you arrive here in 24.
Yes.
Through the front door or the back door?
Well, there's a back door, I suppose.
There was a back door. I'm saying the back door or the front door. Did you come through?
Physically?
Yeah.
A back door.
The back door here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How come we didn't allow you in the front door? What was going on?
Well, you see, I was actually first introduced to the show, we're talking about Queering the Air, as a guest.
As a guest?
Yeah.
You were a guest first?
I was a guest first.
Oh,
yeah. And basically the idea was that I was doing this little zine called Transcreator.
Right.
Now Transcreator Radio was a show here, and that's sort of like a radio extension of the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
It it basically gave a platform to people who were writers but not professional writers, and who were transgender, diverse, or non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
And that interested Sasha from Queering the Air, so I was a guest.
You're a guest.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It went swimmingly.
How come?
Because
you've got no radio experience.
Well, what I have is.
Not now. Now you're a superstar.
Well, no, but what I had, quite frankly, was the gift of the gab. People have always said so.
Exactly, and that's what it is. That's what radio is about. It's about being able to think on your feet.
Yeah.
Being able to respond quickly.
Yep.
You know, to be able to have the quip there, and occasionally be able to be, how shall I put it, caring.
Caring, yeah. A care bear.
A care, yeah. Occasionally, yeah.
Look, you know.
Well, we both got the physical stature to be care bears, haven't we?
We both do.
Yes.
We both do.
Yeah.
Look, you know, but the work that I did in the corporate sphere, that could have made me either sound like a bot or make me sound the way I do.
Yep.
You know, I had to, look, you know, if I was merely there to ensure that we maximise the sales of baked beans, I would never have to advocate for myself.
Right.
Working in the roles that I was, I had to repeatedly advocate for what I was doing and why, and more importantly, why they needed to do X, Y, and Z themselves, right? So that required the ability to speak in, you know, a way that was compelling.
Yeah, not only compelling, but people understood. You've got to be able to speak to a whole variety of people.
Yeah, and now I struggle with that. I struggle with that for a bit because, unfortunately, I suffered from 5 years at university where I ended up sounding like some sort of academic.
So you were verbose. You were verbose.
Far too.
Yeah.
Far too. Mm. And, you know, if anything, now I've gone full circle.
Yeah.
I listen to myself and realise that I don't – well, like I read some of my philosophy philosophy papers,
yep.
and not I can read them, I can understand them, but I think to myself, why on earth do they write it like that?
It was the jargon of the day
yep.
for that particular field.
Yep, and I was very similar with the way I spoke,
yeah.
including for about the first year of my career in these areas,
right?
But I had to learn hard.
So were you were employed in this capacity because yeah. of changes in legislation which forced companies and corporations to incorporate those ideas into their management structure?
Yes, but also some of the larger global corporations that I was working for
mm-hmm.
Had also landed themselves in international hot water, or hot water in what they would refer to as a target market.
Oh, right.
So, one of my first big gigs in safety management and environmental management, I was working for, drum roll please, ExxonMobil.
I don't do drum rolls.
No, I was doing it. I'll do it. Hang on.
Yeah, you can do your own like drum rolls. Yeah, I've got no musical ability whatsoever.
Yeah, but you ruined it. It's the magic of radio. No one knows I did it unless you say what you just said.
Yeah, but why would I acknowledge that I did a drum roll when I didn't? This is a program.
Kindness.
This is not fake news, Madison. This is not fake news, Madison. You want fake news, you go down the road to 3AW.
You're 3CR Radical Australia. You're fake news.
That's right.
To paraphrase Trump.
Well, we're totally fake news.
Yeah.
Totally. We made it up. We don't exist.
No.
As far as the world is concerned, we don't exist. And that's the problem with 3CR. 50 years coming up.
Well, the world is exactly the way it is only because of the way we decide to make it.
Oh, what a truism.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that again? I'm flabbergasted that you are aware of this, being a young person.
Well, it might be a truism, but I think most people are unaware of it. People behave as if, the world that we live in is inevitable.
Mm.
But no, it is purely the way we framed it.
Exactly. And that's what people are beginning to understand.
Yep.
50 years after the big corporate revolutions, they're beginning to understand they're in the situation they were because they've never questioned anything.
No, correct.
It's not a criticism. It's just a fact.
Well, it's also survival.
Yeah.
I think it's, there have been turns in history where it has been safer to speak out and other times when you're just going to be crushed like a bug.
That's right.
And I think we've had more of the bug crushing over the last couple of decades than we have the liberal turnaround.
Yeah, like in the late 60s, early 70s where we actually... But the reason we had that is because we were quite happy to mobilise on the streets, tens of thousands of people. I remember I was in a... I think I was 18 or 19. That's, I think, my first or second year at Queensland University, and we had a day of rage in Canberra.
Day of rage.
Yeah, and we had about, there was only about 90,000 people in Canberra in 1971.
Yeah.
And 50,000 university students turned up on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Extraordinary day.
But that's part of what was going on then. Mm. We don't actually have the volume of youth that we did back then. It was the youthquake.
That's right.
Yeah, the baby boom youthquake.
Mm,
and I think that, a lot of today's youth, although many of them try their hearts out, can't get those volumes because the volume isn't there like it used to be.
No, it's not just a volume. It's the fact that they're saddled from the word go.
Yeah.
They're saddled with debt. They're saddled with what the difference between university education today and in the 70s, continuous assessment.
Yep.
Once continuous assessment was introduced, you didn't have the opportunity to experience the other aspects of university, campus life.
Yeah.
Because you had to hand in assignments over and over again. In my day, you crammed for the end of the year exam. If you passed, you passed. If you failed, you failed. But during the year, you could get involved in activities.
Yeah.
You just turned up at lectures, they'd tick your name, and then you'd leave.
Yeah.
But continuous assessment, I think, has really destroyed young people's ability to actually participate, outside, trying to get a job, get a career, all that type of stuff.
Hmm.
And then you settle for hex debt. Did you have a hex debt?
No, I have a help debt.
Help.
So I ended up paying off the hex debt pretty quickly because of what I was earning.
Right.
But then I accumulated a post-grad debt related debt.
Post-grad debt, yeah.
The help system.
And what was your postgraduate...
Basically I've done a string of things. I did grad cert in occupational health, grad cert in applied mental health, a grad dip in philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you had to pay for all that, didn't the...
Bloody oath, yeah.
Pay for it?
No.
You're kidding.
You don't think those people were the slightest bit interested in me studying philosophy, do you?
They should be.
Well, they shoulda, coulda, didn't.
Yeah. So after your first interview here,
yours,
were the doors closed or you welcome back?
I was welcome back. I was asked.
You asked
whether or not I would like to join.
You were headhunted.
Well, yeah, I was there. I was there at the time when they asked, so they didn't have to hunt me down.
No. And you said, oh, I'm too busy. I got too many.
Nope.
What did you say?
I said, I'd love to.
Why?
Because I knew that this was something I always wanted to do and I just hadn't gotten around to it.
What, radio?
Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah, that's right.
On a mass scale.
On such a mass scale. Yeah.
And that's what people forget. That's what radio is about. It's about mass scale.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about, I wrote about this about 20 years ago, I think it was for the 25th anniversary, 25 years ago.
Sure.
About how important radio is, because radio is about hearing.
Yes.
You're hearing words, you're hearing things, you're hearing ideas. And I of the opinion that our capacity to hear in many regards when we were, you know, in the Paleolithic age was more important than our capacity to see, because we were just little apes running around.
Yeah.
And there are big, nasty things around and you've just heard a little crack. And I think radio will never disappear. People say with podcasts it's going to disappear, but it's not going to disappear because you can be doing something and you can be listening to radio.
Yeah.
And you can't do that when you read.
Yeah.
Although I've seen people try to read the SMSs while they're driving, which is unpleasant.
No, very unpleasant for everyone around them. Yeah.
So.
I mean, firstly, I say I agree.
Oh, forget about agreeing with me. You don't have to. I'm just a presenter. Now.
You're a presenter.
Yeah. Did you remember your first program?
Yeah.
What was it about?
It was presented various aspects of the transgender, diverse, and non-binary culture. So I had a series of little radio packages that I put together, and I presented them. Yeah,
as part of the program.
Part of the program, yeah.
Right, and how long did that go on for?
Well, it was the full hour.
Full hour. You did the full hour yourself.
I did the training.
Right.
Yeah, I did the training.
Yep.
Plug the training. Training's very important, Joe.
I know. Rub it in.
I have done the training, you know.
Yeah,
And then as a result, I was able to go ahead on my own.
Hang on. You did the training.
I did the training.
You're kidding.
I also train now.
Yeah, look, we'll get to that. We've got 56 minutes, all right?
Yeah.
Madison, just relax.
No.
Don't look at the clock. That's my job.
Look at it. Oh, my God, it's 4:18.
That's right. That's my job, all right? I get sick of guests looking at the clock. I've got a clock that I can look at over here, see, behind your shoulder.
When you're a fellow Care Bear, you're looking out for people.
Well, you are looking after people. So how long have you been doing the program now?
Yeah, so I think it was July or August of 2024. Then that was like every 3 weeks or so.
You got one show every 3 weeks. You shared that spot.
Yeah, well, it's basically they had a roster, and at the time there were three of us.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
How many do you have now?
There's me and a loose satellite of people who can't.
A loose satellite. I like that. Can I steal that phrase?
You can, yeah.
I talk about stars and meteorites, but you can talk about loose satellites.
Yeah, there's loose satellites of people who certainly do contribute to the show.
Yeah.
But I find that I'm centrally co-producing and collating their efforts.
That's right. People don't want to do the hard work. I'm sorry. They've got the ideas.
Well, some people only want to do the hard field work, for instance.
Yes.
And are bored with the mixing and the editing, for instance.
Right.
Some people find it, on one hand, too daunting to be behind the panel, right? But on the other hand, they have the bravado to ask people questions off the cuff, something that other people would find absolutely mortifying.
Right.
So I think it's just horses for courses.
Now, tell us about when you trained. What did it entail?
So, firstly, there was a general induction.
What?
So
what
I
do you mean, like
I met with Inez, and Inez came around.
I thought, you know, they threw water over you or something, you know, no, like you did.
Not conduction.
You know, like the good old days, you know, when you...
there was...
We take your pants off or we paint your face red and then you remember nothing like that?
Yeah, no, we call that the 3CR hazing. That does happen.
It does happen.
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Well, Inez does that too.
I've missed out on that. Can I join?
No. No, you'd enjoy it too much.
No, I think I'd get a heart attack because I'm too old.
So anyway, Inez took me around the station.
Right.
Introduced me to the basic components.
Yep.
So, but by that stage, when I actually got into the training, I already had some understanding of what was in front of me, in terms of the itinerary.
Like a microphone.
Yeah. Well, also what Studio One was. You know,
where is Studio One?
It's right here.
Is it really?
You are sitting in Studio One right now.
I've been
now.
Here 49 years. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I thought this was Studio Two. It's Studio One.
It is. It's Studio One.
And it's up on the wall too, is it?
No. I'm thinking it's actually the Jack
the Hat. Yeah.
Davidson. Studio.
Yeah. Jack the Hat. He's long gone. Good old Jack.
The studio's still there.
Now I'm going to ask you a trick question, Madison. Yes. And I'll just see how good you are.
Well, you know.
Why do you think 3CR is on air? What was the historic event which created community radio and why?
I would imagine there was some kind of issue with the way things were being broadcast.
That's
commercially.
Right. Yep.
And people got a big beef about it, and probably quite rightly. I don't know what that specific issue was.
They
gathered together. And there was basically a public meeting, I believe.
Close. No, it was. You got to have a license first. What the Whitlam?
No. But there was a public meeting to discuss getting the license.
No. The Whitlam Labor government.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They did this with community health centres.
Yeah.
And they did this with community radio.
Yes.
They passed legislation.
Yes.
Which allowed licences to be given out, but you'd have to have a community meeting. Now, if it wasn't, and they did that for a specific reason to break the monopoly the Murdoch press had on disseminating ideas in this country. I'm old enough to remember that you think the legacy media is terrible.
Yeah.
Compared to what it was 40 years ago, it was just horrendous. And that's why Labor was kept out of so long. So as a parting shot before they were executed... They introduced this concept of community radio licences.
Yeah.
Then there was a public meeting.
Yeah.
And to show that there was interest, and then that particular group was given a licence. It was same with community health centres, which I was involved in at that particular point in time.
Yeah.
Communities who didn't have enough health facilities could conduct a public meeting, and then you get a grant from the government to go ahead.
Yeah.
But it's the licensing aspect. And I think it's important for the 50th anniversary. We're having a 50th anniversary celebration, Madison.
We're having a party and a celebration, aren't we?
We're not having a party, are we?
Yeah, we're going
to
have
Have you seen that boring little thing they're giving around?
I think it's hardcore. I think it's great.
You think it's hardcore?
Yeah, I think it's actually, it's the zeitgeist, you see.
Yeah.
You're showing your age.
I'm happy to show my age.
Not saying there's anything wrong with your age.
I'm wise.
I often joke about showing my age myself, you know, but yeah.
Oh, come on, Madison.
I'm 55 years of age.
55? Well, I've got...
You've got many...
20 years on you.
Yeah, but have many years on many other trans elders.
No.
I mean, that's the reality.
That's correct. Yeah, you are an elder. You are a trans elder.
I'm an elder, yeah.
It's hard to believe that. You know,
that I'm a trans elder, it is hard to believe.
No, just hard to believe that we're elders. You know, you get to that stage in life and people say, hello, uncle. And you're looking around and you say...
Or me. It's mama.
Yeah, mama in your case. Yeah, in my case, Max, it's uncle. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I actually resisted it initially.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. I suppose my attitude was, you've got to be joking. I'm only 50 at the time, or probably about 52.
Mm.
You've got to be joking. But no, and then I realised that, well, actually, there's not much of us around.
No, and because a lot of issues. I mean,
yeah,
people think it's hard now. It was horrible, horrible.
Well, that was why I was closeted.
Yeah, it's just so horrible for people who are gender diverse.
Yeah.
You know, not just gender diverse, people who had different sexual preferences. People used to get bashed. They still do.
Yeah.
But it was a sport then, you know. Now people say, oh, that's not very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was just amazing.
Well, I think I was very fortunate that I had high verbal reasoning because in part schools and institutions didn't see me as queer. They saw me as gifted.
No, eccentric?
Yeah, eccentric. Yeah. That's right. Eccentricities come with being gifted. Well, at least that was the view. So a lot of the stuff that I was into and I was interested in would just be, oh, that's just, and this was my name at the time, oh, that's just Warwick.
That's just Warwick.
So my mother would agonise to her sisters about various things.
About Warwick.
And they'd actually say, oh, look, Warwick's always been like that.
But in English culture, there's always been room. There had been room for the eccentric.
Yeah, not so much now. But
no,
yeah.
But then there was a room for the eccentric, and the eccentric uncle
celebrated it.
You know, piss himself during the Christmas party or whatever. You know, watch out for Uncle Fred. He's got groping hands.
Oh yeah,
that type of thing. You know. Now let's get back to this. You know, I learned two.
Well, you don't want to continue to talk about groping hands.
What for?
I can't believe you.
I've got too much arthritis.
I can't believe you raised it. But there you go. So
well, that's the whole point. Joke. We raise things here on this program.
Raise it.
Yeah, we're not like your show where everything is, you know, respectable. All right, you're respectable now. All right,
you have never ever listened to my show.
No.
Respectable.
You're respectable in terms of 3CR culture.
Am I?
Yes.
Oh,
you're just part of the furniture these days.
I think you want to talk to Michaela. I think, if anything, I'm a little on the edge.
Well, have you been called into the office and been disciplined?
No, not disciplined, but I've had light-hearted jokes with Michaela about things that I've accidentally said. Yeah.
But that's nobody's complained, have they?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I indicated, in my view, a particular grouping of people who had behaved in a certain way leading up to the 2024 Midsummer Carnival.
Yes.
That their behaviour was an example of the horseshoe theory.
Yes.
Where, you know, their behaviour was that so militant and abhorrent, abhorrently so, that I believe the phrase that I used was that their behaviour is more in the tradition of the right than of the left.
Yeah, it happens.
And that had to be cut from the podcast version of what the show was.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, Michaela, to her credit, was very...
understanding.
Diplomatic.
Yeah.
And so when I explained the political circumstances that led to my comment, it was accepted that that was... On one hand, it was a matter of opinion. But that, on the other hand, and I agreed with this entirely myself, that that show had every right to make a decision in terms of editing. So, yeah.
Well, that's right. They've got that
decision.
I think
it was actually, in a way, it was a good example of how 3CR can operate.
Yeah.
Where the potential for conflict is often just resolved.
That's right. Well, in the Constitution, the fact is that if you're going to criticise another program, they've got the right of a reply on your program.
Oh, yeah. Talking on their program. Yeah. And that's why they wanted to edit it out. And I think they probably did the right thing too by just alerting Michaela to the fact that they felt the need to do that. All above board.
It's always above board.
Always above
board. Let's get to something more interesting. I learned two things.
There's your behaviour. That's not above board.
No. I make no apologies. As you said before we started talking, you said the older you get, the less you've got to lose.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right. In which case, you got nothing to lose, dude.
No, got nothing at all. Now, let's skip. You know this party on the 4th of July?
Yes, party, yes.
Yes. Now, you know it's in Collingwood Town Hall.
Yeah.
Now, do you know where Collingwood Town Hall is? Because I've been re-educated in the last few days. Where?
There's been a few queer events there.
What suburb
Abbotsford.
Is it? God, we've got a genius here.
I
always thought it was in Collingwood.
I
went to the 100th anniversary celebration in 76.
I think you have every reason to have been deceived. I mean, they didn't call it the Abbotsford Town Hall, did they?
No.
So I think it's on them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Tanya, who designed some of our posters, and I said, oh, why have you got Abbotsford there? And she said, Joan, are you mad? The Collingwood Town Hall is in Abbotsford.
Well, the answer is yes, but also that the Collingwood Town Hall is in Abbotsford.
And the other thing, you know, you're a genius. The other thing I got wrong is I thought it was still Punt Road. It's Hoddle Street.
Hoddle Street by that stage, yeah.
Yeah, it's turned into Hoddle Street.
I know that because I know the geography of where Chopper Reed was intending to, perform certain actions.
That's right.
And it wasn't in Punt Road, it was further up in Hoddle Street.
Yeah, I remember.
He was going to call it Operation Wok Fry.
Now, what was it named? There was a big campaign in the 70s and that, around that area. It was about a gentleman who got killed by the Victoria Police, which is not unusual.
No.
It was called Cops Killed Collingberg, something like that. I've forgotten what his name was, but there was graffiti all over that place between Hoddle and Punt Road.
Yeah.
That's where it happened. Now, what's happening on the day? Do you know?
I'm dressing as a chicken.
Can we barbecue you?
By all means. No, I'm not sure if this is actually going to be allowed, but people have been running with it as I keep talking about coming as dressed as a chicken.
Well, there's nothing wrong with chickens.
Well, no.
On Talkback with Attitude, we have chickens that listen.
So, you know, on
clearing... Did you hear that? We have chickens that listen to Talkback with Attitude. Yeah. And they send SMSs with chickens on them.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's nothing new, mate. It is nothing new being a chicken.
I never said it was you. No.
And who's that? Who's that veteran comedian who used to have a chook on a plastic chook on a?
Oh,
yeah, he's actually at the comedy festival. I even interviewed him once. God, the memory.
Not Rod Quantock.
Yeah, Rod. Right.
Yeah.
He used to go to. They used
Captain
to,
Snooze.
Yeah, they'd have a mini bus full of people who'd paid money, and then they'd turn up at.
Top
class restaurants.
Tour.
Yeah. With his chicken on a stick. Yeah.
That was way, way back in the Comedy Zoo.
Exactly.
Ages.
Yeah. I heard he was doing something in the Comedy Festival this year.
Yeah, I saw it.
What did he do?
No. I saw the ad.
All right.
I didn't go and see it.
What did the ad say?
Well, it said Rod Quantock.
He's still alive.
Well, yeah, and I think that was it emphasised, you know, how his comedy had often touched on. Issues to do with, you know, climate crisis and environmental problems and that.
Yeah.
So he's probably quite rightly going to focus on that. I did see him many years ago, and yes, indeed, that's what he was talking about, you know, including a rather musing, you know, 15-minute diatribe about how he was going to move to some very mountainous area of New Zealand because he believed it was the only place that was going to be survivable.
Yeah, because there'll be no miasma.
Yeah, he was a funny man.
You've heard the miasma theory of disease?
Yeah, I have, because I know that epidemiology started by finding that it was studying to a point where they actually located cholera in an area of London to a particular water tap.
That's right.
And it basically showed that the miasma theory was nonsense, which was that it spread through the air.
You just walk through the inner city, especially Richmond and Fitzroy.
Yes.
You'll notice the nice houses, really nice, are on the hill.
Yes.
And the slums are down below. Because every summer there'd be a typhoid epidemic in Richmond, Collingwood, Abbotsford, all these areas, and about 50% of the children never got to the age of five until sewage was introduced in Melbourne in the 1890s.
Right.
So, and that was the whole theory, as you said, it was the airs, the vapors. So the rich lived on hills, so they didn't get sick. Because there was no sewage around their feet.
Yeah. And the poor, had nothing to do with the air.
Yeah, and the poor lived in the hollows, you know. And although
what a fine heritage we have here in Victoria.
Yeah.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Workers' paradise.
It is. It is a work. And the socialist left faction is in charge of the state via the Alternative Liberal Party, commonly known as the Australian Labor Party.
The Alternative Liberal Party.
Yeah, the ALP.
Well, actually, historically, the Liberal Party is the anti-Labor Party. There's no actual... Yeah.
No, the Alternative Liberal Party, ALP. I mean, you can put anything you like to words. ALP, Alternative Liberal Party.
Yeah,
Australian Labor Party.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah. Similar policies.
Not that similar.
Similar.
Yeah, try being a trans person and seeing them as similar.
Well, as far as identity issues are concerned, I do acknowledge, but as far as economic issues are concerned.
Oh, yeah, they're both well and truly embedded in the neoliberal tradition.
Now,
Lenin criticised them for that.
Yeah, Lenin?
Vladimir.
Was the socialist left faction of the Labor Party around then in 19...
No, but the Labor Party, Australian Labor Party was.
Yeah.
And he mentioned them as being and the broader Labor movement as being in cahoot with the bosses.
That's right. Yeah. Now, it was interesting how you deflected my question about your training.
Oh, yeah, no, I just got it. That's just typical ADHD, mate.
Oh, don't tell me you got ADHD. You don't live in Brunswick, do you?
No, I live in Essendon.
Oh, that's all right. You realise...
But I want to live in Brunswick.
It is the ADHD capital of Victoria, Brunswick.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a Four Corners expose on it. Right. I haven't watched it yet. Yeah.
No.
But some of my mates
have. So maybe you can move to Brunswick. Increase
the
numbers.
I fit in completely.
Well, I don't know. Brunswick's an interesting area.
I'm an interesting person.
No, you're not. You're just a
it's
bloke.
Funny
you should you're say just, that. You're just a person at
3CR. It's funny. I've actually, in environments that would normally think of a queer person, let alone a trans person, as just naturally being interesting, I've had people who then get to know me.
That's right.
To then joke about how ordinary I am, which is actually great because...
Well, it's great. That's what you want.
It means they see the humanity. You know?
Yeah, they don't see you as... an issue.
Yeah, but like you said, I'm just
another human being.
I'm just another 3CR person.
Just another 3CR person. So tell us the training.
I'm just a little buzzy bee drone.
No, you're a 3CR. You're a chicken.
Oh, that's right, a chicken. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you about this. I've got the 3CR chicken.
Have you?
Yeah, the 3CR chickens on my show. So, you know, I do the occasional spot where I'll just go,
hang on.
That's the 3CR chicken.
Now, we've got the 3CR chickens on Talkback with Attitude.
Yeah.
Real chickens.
No, but this is a fake chicken.
Oh, just what we want.
This
fake
is real...
news, fake chickens, what
fake
next?
Fake chickens, yeah.
Fake McDonald's, what next?
Yeah, what else?
What else? Fake vegan food.
That was a very common phrase in corporate culture for a while.
Now, let's get you back just to go, the training.
What else?
Training. How long did it last?
The training lasted for a couple of weeks, and I loved it.
And what did it entail?
Okay, so basically you're taught media law was very important. You know, you don't want to get 3CR in legal bother.
It's happened. It's happened.
It has happened. I believe you've been responsible. But
that's right.
We won't talk about that.
Well, it wasn't me, I assure you, or I wouldn't have been on air this. I know the look, my philosophy is very simple.
Very simple.
If I slag off at you, right?
Yes, frequently, yes.
No. If I slag off at you
and
I defame you, you'll go to some bloody lawyer, you know, and they'll sue 3CR and you'll make a packet.
I'm strapped for cash.
Because you're just an ordinary human being, right?
And I'm strapped for cash.
Yeah. But if I defame somebody as rich and powerful.
Yeah.
If I'm 10% correct, there is no way they're going to take us to court.
No.
Because of the bad publicity that would entail.
Yeah, like
maybe something would come out of it.
Like our tiny little military hero that decided to push his luck.
Well, yeah. I've got a better story. I've got about when Six Anarchists put out a pamphlet in London about McDonald's and McDonald's.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, you know, they did, you know, that they relied heavily on donations and that. They could have gone bankrupt, definitely.
Yeah, but
and that
but
was
they
the
won
tactic.
The
it was lawfare.
Yeah, it's warfare. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, training.
Training.
So, media law, very important.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've established that now. Also, how to use tools like Audacity.
Excuse me? What's Audacity?
Audacity, you wouldn't know. You didn't
no,
do
I don't
training.
Know. I didn't do the training.
You see, Joe, us who have done the training know that Audacity is a piece of recording software that you can use.
Software?
Software.
What's
software? Software is something that you can use on computer hardware in order to, this is your cue now, computer hardware to complete computer.
I don't even know what
you're
talking about. Madison, you're crazy.
A computer is a machine, etc.
You're kidding. I remember we had carts on the wall.
Carts? Oh, yeah. I've given
a picture to Michaela, which I think will be used in the 50th anniversary celebration, of me sitting in Studio One.
Yeah.
With hundreds of carts behind me.
Well, to give you some indication of the extent to which I did have, you know, an active interest prior to in radio, I actually did work experience at Radio 2GO.
Ah, and they had carts.
In high school. Yeah, they had a whole room full of machines that just had cart slots.
Yeah.
And then somebody, you know, the DJ could operate those from a computer in the area.
Can I tell you the train in 1977?
Yeah.
You'd become an affiliate.
Yeah.
They give you a spot.
Yep.
Give you 15 minutes initially.
Yep.
You'd have to pre-record.
All right.
They would listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would go ahead. That was it. That was the training.
Yeah, but now we have the golden age of training.
The golden age.
The golden age.
What does that mean?
It means that we have here at 3CR the best training available for anybody, particularly when it comes to bang for your buck.
And you do get a degree out of it, don't you, or something?
No.
What do you get?
You get the opportunity to be able to share your views and platform the views of others here on 3CR Radical Radio.
And you pay for the privilege?
You pay for a very small amount that I'm sure is highly subsidised in order to make sure that, you know, this high standard of training, I hope you're listening to this, Inez, can be delivered. I actually do think it's very good training and it's even better now.
So how big are the classes?
About eight to ten.
Eight to ten.
Yeah, so this is the other thing. You've got small classes where no one's being scammed here, you know. Some of these other bloody places, you know, they'll get you to pay for training.
Fake universities, degrees, this, fake that.
And some community organisations that are worse for it.
And how many people have come through 3CR have got media careers in the legacy, you know, in legacy media and social media and podcast. Yeah. Just an extraordinary number of people started off here.
Exactly.
Know, and with that training. Now, you said you've become a trainer.
Yeah, I'm a trainer.
How come?
I want to train people.
Why?
Well, I've done it all my career and I know I have the skill and I know I have the personality.
So what are the skills you need to train somebody in radio?
You need to understand, A, what it is that a person needs to learn. So, you know, what the competence is that they need to gain.
So if you were going to train me, I'd need to know where the switches are.
Is we'd just have to start from ground zero.
And what's that? What's that?
I'd have to describe to you what a computer is.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Well,
we rely on computers,
do we? You know.
I just thought we spoke in the microphone. That was it.
You know, I'm quite sure every morning you wake up with a scare. What's that? The alarm clock, you know.
I don't use an alarm clock. I have an internal alarm.
Oh, my God. It's even worse than I thought.
I don't believe in alarm clocks.
But anyway.
I don't even have. Well, you don't want to know. I mean, I even cut my food with a fork and knife.
Wow.
So you do training.
Yeah. So
how do you become you're trained and how do you become a trainer?
Well, you just say, I would like to train.
Right. And do you get supervised?
Well, you know, you're never doing training on your own.
Right.
So the first time around, you know, obviously, you know, they'll pair you up with somebody and they did. Mm-hmm. In my case, with someone that knows what they're doing.
Right.
But, you know, quite frankly, there was actually training induction. I just forgot about that.
Training induction.
Yeah. So I got training into how to be a trainer here at 3CR.
That's what I was trying to get out of you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think they'd just train you.
Yeah. We can edit this in post.
We don't edit. We don't post. I've got some bad news for you,
what?
Madison.
What?
You're going to have to podcast this program, your own program, and you're going to have to get your own photo. I'm sorry, because Henrietta's not available.
That's all right.
Are you happy to do it?
Yeah.
Because I can't do it. I'm too stupid.
Well, and you'll certainly look stupid by the time I've finished with Canva, you know.
We don't. Excuse me. Don't edit.
No. Once I finish with your imagery in the little thumbnail that I'm going to create for you. I'm going to make you look a right fool.
Well, that's not difficult. I mean, that's so simple.
So in other words,
Madison, that
is
simple.
I will take your photo and I'll put it in the thumbnail and then therefore I've achieved it.
You achieved it. Look, you don't have to do anything for my photo. Doesn't matter. Maybe I can use it on my tombstone.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
My photo of you, my makeup.
Will I have horns or...?
Oh, no. Probably just two fingers, you know, like they used to
up
do in the 70s.
Up my nostrils.
Behind your back, so you look like a little...
rabbit. Oh,
like a little rabbit.
Oh.
Look, it's Joe, the little bunny rabbit.
Oh, I don't mind bunny rabbits. They're very destructive.
They are.
They almost brought Australia to its knees.
Yes, well.
There you are. Thank you for the compliment. I think I'll use a bunny rabbit as my symbol, for my avatar from now on.
And then we forced rabbits to eat various types of toasted sandwiches, and as a result they suffered from myxomatoses.
And other diseases.
And toasties. Yeah,
yeah, but they've got.
Well, that was a good joke.
It was pathetic, man. I hope that's not the standard of the jokes you use on your program.
Now, I could promise you they are.
How many hours would you spend at 3CR?
Too long. Too many.
Every week. How many do you think?
Probably about three.
But is that unusual?
But, you know, I know that the people here, the staff here are really busy.
Yep, they are.
You know, and so I also know that I can't help being chatty.
Yeah.
So I come in here, do what I need to do.
And leave.
End up chatting way too much to these poor people then leave.
Well, I walked in and I saw...
Because I could be here every day.
Well, you could be.
Yeah.
Are you doing any paid work or is this your main...
Not at the moment.
No. Well, I walked in today and I said to Madison, look, I'm going to be... You're Madison. I said to Inez.
Yes.
Right. Dementia moment. I said, I'm interviewing, I'm chatting, I don't do interviews with Madison Moffat. Could we have a look at when we did the last one?
Yes.
I couldn't do it. She had to do it for me.
Yeah.
You could train me to do all those things.
Yeah, but you're not interested.
No, I've got no interest whatsoever.
You've got zero interest in doing it.
No, I've got zero interest. Because
and that's not a criticism, it's just an observation.
No. In 1977 when I started, I made a decision.
Yeah.
I looked at Mr. Laws. Remember the late Mr. Laws? Oh,
absolutely. Hello, right. Hello world. Hello, Murray. Yeah, this is John Laws.
Yeah, with the gold microphone. And what I noticed is he didn't panel operate like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it allows you to focus much better on your program and your interviewing, unless you pre-record. If you go live, I think it gives you much more freedom.
Yeah.
So... what's going to happen on the 50th anniversary? It's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Collingwood Town Hall in Abbotsford.
In Abbotsford.
On Hoddle Street.
Yes.
Now...
well, it's just basically a never-ending string of hilarity and joy, isn't it?
Well, there's going to be tables, I think, with people there who are...
will there be food?
There's food.
There's
music. I heard that.
I'm there then.
Yeah, well, there was Carl Bonuzzo. I was speaking to him last week on the show, and he's actually doing a song for the 50th anniversary.
A special song?
A special song.
Hmm.
And
I thought you didn't like music.
This is radio, Madison.
Ah.
You've got to create a persona for yourself. What you hear...
Well, don't burst it now.
No. But what you hear
you've
is not
necessarily so long.
What you hear is not necessarily the truth. I may have an LP collection that you can't, can't fit in a room.
I choose to believe that you hate music because it amuses me.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I keep saying Cromwell and the Taliban were right. Everybody else was wrong.
Dear me.
And every time I go past that music coordinator, Joe M.
Yeah.
I can't believe that he keeps telling me it's 34, 35, 40 hours of music on 3CR. What a waste of space.
Yeah, see, what should it be filled with instead?
Georgian throat singing? I'm not very good. But I understand there are stalls, and what I'm really looking forward to is they're going to sell some old posters.
Yes.
They're going to be worth millions in thousands of years.
Oh, they're not reprints?
I hope not.
Oh, I just don't know. This is just a question. Maybe not.
Obviously not on the organising committee, are you?
No.
Neither am I.
No, I'm not.
Well, I need somebody from the organising committee to come here to be interrogated.
Yes,
because we want a lot of people to turn up on the day because it's about joy. It's about celebrating our existence and our continued existence. I mean, 3CR has gone through ups and downs. There's been times when governments have tried to shut us down.
Yes.
Even recently, there's been attempts to shut us down.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah. And the thing is that the important thing is that we've survived and we've given a huge range of people a voice which they don't get anywhere else. Did you know there was no Palestinian program anywhere in Australia except 3CR?
Yeah, well, that does not surprise me, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's worth pointing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about queer programs? You've got...
Yeah, so, you know, we've got quite a few, haven't we? We've got like In Your Face with James McKenzie, you know, the brother from Another Mother.
Yep.
We've got Sally Goldner with, you know, Out in the Pan.
Yep.
Priya is regularly on the various breakfast programs. I believe the Tuesday, might be the Tuesday, might be the Thursday morning program.
Right.
Priya's regularly on, and, you know, quite a lot of great queer stuff as a result ends up on the on the morning and breakfast programming. We've got Amy, who does a whole range of things, including kick your fence, kick down your fence, and mow your lawn or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Burn your lawn or whatever.
Burn your mow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know,
I think dig up your
great
lawn.
Stuff about you know, basically a radical perspective on public town planning.
And there you are. You use the big R word.
Yeah, radical. It's radical. Yeah.
I mean, we have people from the Indigenous community been broadcasting here for years, although there's an Indigenous radio station, because they can't say what they want to on that particular station.
Oh.
Do you find the same in the queer community?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. So without wanting to speak too roughly
just
about
broadly,
that,
broadly.
Yeah. Broadly, there are other radio stations that cater that I just know I would not get on as a presenter. Now, don't get me wrong.
No.
They've been gracious enough to have me on as a guest.
Guest, yes.
But the culture fit wouldn't be there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that people forget there's a whole range of cultural attitudes among different groups in society.
Definitely.
You know, not every queer person is the same, not every gay person is the same, not every heterosexual is the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And people make that mistake.
Well, it was Queers for Trump.
Queers for Trump.
Yeah, there was a group, you know, the 2016 election.
Can you invite them here and I'll burn them publicly?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah. You think, anyway, you think they're still Queers for Trump?
I think there's probably
a few of them, you think? Yeah. You think they've been kicked out of the military? That's didn't help.
Oh, well, you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Just
idiots. No, but what I'm saying, what you said is the radical, is it?
Yeah.
You've got that option here at 3CR to canvass subjects in a way. Obviously, there are limitations regarding defamation laws.
Yeah, and also these days, thanks to recent legislation about something that I think we still grapple our heads around working out what on earth they're talking about, called social cohesion.
Social cohesion.
And particularly considering, you know, organisations like community radio stations are actually held to legislation that it basically imbibes all community organisations to behave in a way that doesn't in no way, erodes social cohesion.
No.
It's like, well, just about getting out of bed, and when I get out of bed in the morning, you know, it erodes social cohesion.
Yeah, but the thing is, social cohesion is basically about maintaining the status quo.
Well, exactly. That's
all it is. It's about, you know, silencing everybody else and just maintain the status quo and criminalising. I mean, you got the ridiculous situation in Queensland. People are arrested for saying, from the river to the sea. Palestine, you know,
we don't even have to say the whole thing. You just say from the river to the sea and you end up arrested.
Or you can say globalise the infiltrator. You know, they get arrested. They can be jailed for up to 2 years. We've seen that type of legislation like this here recently.
Yeah.
It's environmental legislation that's come in, that's come really down heavily on environmental activists.
Mm.
And that's the thing about 3CR, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, is the fact is the 3CR gives people who are, how do I put it?
Marginalised.
Well, no.
Silenced.
No. Marching to a
sexy.
Different drumbeat.
Oh, that.
The old one, you know. I'm an old bloke, you know. We're marching to a different drumbeat. It allows the community to hear that drumbeat.
Yeah.
And it never happened before, you know.
Before the
community radio licence is coming out in the 1975. It was one of the last legislations pieces of the Whitlam-led Labor government. So it's an extraordinary thing that we've been here for 50 years.
Well, as much as I love a lot of the, sibling community radio stations.
Siblings.
I actually think that 3CR is actually quite unique amongst those.
Well, it is unique, not quite unique. Come on, you're university educated, Madison.
Quite unique.
It is unique.
Yeah. No, it's not so much the uni, that's more the gentrification.
Yeah.
You can blame the fact I lived in McKinnon for 5 years for that.
Now, can I give you some bad news, Madison?
Yes, it's nearly time.
No, that's not the bad news.
I've just looked at the clock.
I know, that's fine. You're a fellow presenter, you're allowed to look at the clock.
Oh, thank you.
Because you're going to have to put on the next program.
Am I? Oh, yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, Inez will be coming in, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, if she doesn't, I can do it.
Yeah. Well, I know, you're a trainer, you know everything.
I know enough.
Yeah. You know what the bad news is, Madison?
That is something I don't know.
You can't afford to live in Brunswick. You can't afford the rent.
I can't afford to live in Brunswick, no.
No, I know you want to move to Brunswick.
I can hardly afford to live in Essendon.
Hang on. Yeah. Essendon is gentrified.
Exactly.
Yeah. How long have you been in Essendon for?
Only since December.
December.
Yeah. Do I not know it's gentrified?
Essendon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've noticed $2 million properties, $3 million properties in Essendon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the western suburbs, you could snap that up for £20 and 40 years ago.
And I live approximately 500 metres from, you know, one of those prestigious private colleges in Essendon.
Prestigious private colleges.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That people move into the area so that they're within the little post-it note of the zone.
So it's one of those prestigious public schools. Because privately you can go anywhere you like, so it's got to be a public school.
Yeah, that may be so, but yeah, the lack yeah. of... No, I think it is private.
Private. Mm.
Anyway, one way or another, the public transport's so rubbish that if you don't live next to it, it's not going to be practical.
Yeah, well, it is a bit rubbish. How do you get to 3CR? Do you bicycle?
I drive.
You drive? Sensible. Can I shake your hand?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm shaking your hand because I think we're the only two here that still drive a car. Yeah, they all come on their little bicycles. You know?
I can't do that. Well, I've got a lower back congenital issue.
We won't go into that. Because I'd get excited because it's
called my
bottom. It's good. Well, I'm not getting excited there. There is a limit to what even I will get attracted to.
It's my bot. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's wrap up. Collingwood Town Hall.
Yes.
In Abbotsford.
In Abbotsford.
In Hoddle Street, not Punt Road.
Not Punt Road.
Across the road from the Collingwood High School. Or
yes.
Secondary college, across the road.
In the approximate area of Operation Stir Fry that didn't happen.
Yeah, 20 years ago, one of my friends was the principal. She was the principal of the Collingwood Secondary College. Every morning, she'd get there half an hour early to walk around the grounds to make sure there were no bodies because people were overdosing left, right and centre before the injection centre was established.
Yes.
True story. She said occasionally you'd find somebody dead.
I have no doubt. Yeah. I lived in similar areas in Sydney.
Yeah. It starts at 11 a.m.?
That I didn't know.
Finishes at 4 p.m.?
I'll take your word for it.
Lots of tables. Are you going to have a table?
No one's told me I should get a table or anything. I'm just rocking up.
No. Look, I'm disgusted with management. I've been asked to have a table. Why not you?
Well, I mean, you're rich.
Yeah,
you're a doctor.
I'm rich in ideas.
You're a GP. You must be loaded.
That's right. That's why I'm working at 75.
Because you're loaded, yeah.
Now, Madison, it's really been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah.
I have a great deal of respect for all the energy and effort you put into not just 3CR, but into your community. Looking after your community and doing the right thing and caring.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. I'm gonna. I've. In all seriousness, at some point, I'm gonna join one of your din-dins. You know how you have dinners.
Well, there was one in Brunswick. When you move to Brunswick, you're welcome.
Well, I'll just drive there.
Oh, that's right.
I've got a car.
Now, Inez, can you talk to Madison about a table at the 3CR? Because she hasn't been offered one. I've been offered one.
I haven't been offered a table.
And she does training. I'm a show pony. She's a draft horse. She does all the work.
Well, I think it's also because they're picking out a chicken suit for me.
We'll get Ian from Sunbury to bring in the chickens, all right? Some real chickens and you can compete with them. We'll see which one's more chicken-like.
Excuse me. I am a real chicken.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Madison. All the best with your show. Hopefully you'll be here as long as I've been. And I give you an invitation to come to my funeral, okay? You can come as a chicken if you want to.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, yeah.
I will. I'll actually jump into the hole
now
start clucking.
I've told Inez the bad news. Not your Inez. I've told Madison the bad news.
Gosh.
She's going to have to podcast her own program and put up her own photo. I'm sorry. No, you're going to do it. Oh, Inez is going, there you go. You're a real guest.
Well, I can't sabotage it now.
No. But you can give a nice photo. Not the same one as we had in January 2025.
That wasn't a nice photo.
Well, you thought it was.
Oh, I was just being, I'm just being negative. Just contrary. That's what
contrary,
I mean.
Contrary.
Being contrary.
Well, all I can say is I'm looking forward to seeing the chicken.
Thank you.
At the 50th birthday party.
The 3CR chicken.
Yep. Did you ever hear about Chicken Man?
When
the,
yes.
The Kennett regime was... No, when Kennett was in power, there was a...
Oh, no, that's different.
There was the Chicken Man who used to give him hell. All right, we better go, Inez. It's 10 seconds. Thank you very much, Inez.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.